Welcome to the Valley College Connection, where John Kawai and Scott Wigan, two Valley professors, engage in a conversation about success with educators and students. Each week, they'll sit down with a different guest to find out ways each of us have had to plan, persevere, and overcome to where we are now. The show will also highlight resources and services that are working to make a difference at Valley College.
Well, we are joined today by Miguel Sandoval, EOPS Care Counselor. Thank you for sitting down with us, Miguel.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. So I know you've been at the college for some time now, and you've worked in different offices. And so we'd like to hear about what you're doing now, but also really the pathway that brought you here to Valley College.
Well, I'm a product of LAUSD. So I went to Victory Boulevard Elementary School for, K through, six at that time?
What part of the Valley is that in?
That is off of Victory and Laurel Canyon. So it's in North Hollywood. It's very close to the campus. Then after that, my mom sent me to Walter Reed Middle School. It's in Studio City. It's off of Riverside and Tahunga. So she sent me there. I was there for, 3 years, and I did my schooling. Then afterwards, I transferred to North Hollywood High School, and then that's where I finished my high school education.
What were you like as a student? Did you enjoy school, or any subjects in particular that you liked or disliked?
Well, as a student in elementary school, I think I was a smart kid. My teachers always were telling my mom, he's a smart kid, but he's always getting into trouble. And I think that was because I just didn't like seeing people get bullied. So that was an issue that I had. So I would constantly get in like fights when I saw kids getting picked on. I'd be like, leave them alone. Mm-hmm. You do your thing. So that was the only issue that I had in elementary school. I also had a learning disability. So I was in special ed. I'm partially deaf on my left side. That's something that I really don't tell people. But, obviously when you're in elementary school, kids see that you're pulled out of the regular class and then you go to the special education center. So then they make fun of you.
Right.
So I think that's where my, intolerance of bullying came from, because kids at a young age, they're like, hey, you're going to the class, right?
Right, right.
And, you grow. It's frustrating sometimes because you're like, hey, I need this. I go there for a reason. Then on top of that, I would go to my, they would also separate myself and other classmates from the regular class to go to ESL. Okay. So that was another whammy on top of it.
Right.
So I had a learning disability on top, and then on top of that, language barrier.
Okay.
So one of my things was like, I would constantly read. I would always try to read books, the newspaper, in English and in Spanish to just improve my reading skills.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, I remember my mom sat down with me once and she was very frustrated. She's like, you're a smart kid, but you're always getting into fights.
Right.
She's like, that's the one thing that I want you to like stop doing. And she's like, one of the ways to try to be successful in this country is to get educated. So she always pushed education. She was constantly on top of me. Go to school, learn. I send you to school for a certain reason. I came to this country for a certain reason. Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't want you to be one of those kids that's doing nothing, that it's into gangs, is into drugs. I don't want to be classified as those people that have come to this country to do bad, to do harm, versus doing well and improving and bettering yourself. So that was very impactful when she told me that, and that's pretty much what I think motivated me to try to be successful.
How old were you with that conversation? Was that?
I was very young, thinking it was probably like around third, fourth grade. It was really young. And I know she left Mexico and came here when she was really young. She was about 16, 17 years old when she came. She told us a story about when she crossed the border, the things they go through in crossing the border. So that really impacted me. And I was like, man, she wants at least one son or daughter to be successful. So I think I carry that weight, that pressure, to justify the reason why she came to this country. I really, really pushed myself. Difficult at times, it was frustrating, because I remember I used to spend hours like trying to learn things because I was a slow learner. That was my disability, was processing information.
Did you discover the disability while you were in school, or did you know it before starting school?
I discovered it while I was in school. I almost passed away when I was a newborn. I had meningitis. My mom used to, her whole career has been cleaning houses, a homemaker. Mm-hmm. So I remember she told me that she came home one day and that the babysitter was like, I don't know what's wrong with the baby, but there's something wrong with the baby. So then my mom said, you know, he has a high fever. She said that she touched my head and it was just like extremely hot. And that my eyes, like, think were rolling back, you know. So she took me to the ER and that they told her, you know, how long has the child been sick? And she's like, I don't know. I came home from work and this is how I found him. And then they told him, you know, he has meningitis. And they put me in the ICU. I still have scars on my ankles from when they, I guess that's where they put the IVs. So I have a scar on my right ankle and a scar on my left one when they opened me up to put the medicine. And then my mom says that, you know, they dumped me in a tub with ice water to bring the temperature down.
Right.
And that they told him, like, you know, we don't know what damage he has, if he has any brain damage, if he has any motor mobility damage. We don't know the extent of it. Because I think I was like about 3 months old when that happened. So I was very small. And they said, you know, he was close to passing away. So I found this later on when I used to space out and zone out in my classes. Mm-hmm. And same thing, sometimes I used to do the same thing with my mom. And my mom thought I was just, you know,
not paying attention.
Exactly, being difficult. And so then that's when they referred me to specialist. Okay. And I started, so I remember all throughout elementary school going to see specialists, you know, and then that's when they said, you know, well, he has learning disability, you know, he's partially deaf on his left side. Mm. And then I remember I would go sometimes and they would put me on another side of the glass in another room and they would be on the other side. And it's like, okay, you know, this is what we're, they would give me statements. And they would say, like, on what side of your ear do you, or like sounds.
Right.
And I had to like raise my hand either right or left or be like, right. You know, so it was one of those experiences where I know she tried, you know, I think that's why she probably focused a little bit more on me, you know, pushing myself because of that situation.
Are you an only child or do you have siblings?
We are 4 boys and 2 girls. But I knew that there was always something was odd because she would always be very careful, like, don't hit your head. Mm. You know, because, mm-hmm. you know, you're playing around with kids and you fall down and you hit yourself, but then you just get back up.
Yeah.
And I would just get back up and I'm like, Mom, I'm fine.
Right.
And she's like, she would just be checking me. And I was like, why? Like,
why the special treatment?
Exactly.
Here?
Yeah. Or like, you know, why do you make a big deal out of things, right?
Yeah.
Why is there such a concern? So then eventually she told me, look, this is what happened and you need to be extra careful.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, so, you know, and I don't know if my siblings saw it as favoritism, you know, but she then eventually try to explain to them, like, this is a situation, so it's not that I'm trying to be, you know, play favoritism, but I love all you guys equally. Mm-hmm. I want you guys to all be successful, but he just needs a little bit more help at this time.
Right. You know, were you youngest or in the middle? Or
I'm in the middle. Yeah, but I don't know if you know, if siblings necessarily understand that when you're younger, right? Because you're kids.
Right.
So sometimes it was like, hey, you know what? He's the chosen one. And I was like, no, I'm not the chosen one. This is a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
I want you guys to be the chosen one with me.
Right. We're in this together.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, eventually I finished elementary school. You know, I had a lot of honors and awards from elementary school. I used to stay in class maybe during recess, mm-hmm. you know, just to put in the extra time and the work. Mm-hmm. I would go to tutoring, put in the extra time and the work. It was very, like, a lot of work. So when I went to the middle school, they also put me in some honors classes, which was frightening because I didn't have someone to. My mom only went up to, I believe, maybe 2nd, 3rd grade. You know, same thing with my dad. You know, mm-hmm. not a lot of education. So I remember when I started middle school, I would come home and ask them, hey, you know what? This is getting a little bit harder.
Yeah.
I need some help. And my mom would look at me and she's like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. You know, mm-hmm. keep going to your tutoring, keep going to your extra help with your instructors,
yeah.
and I'm sure things will work themselves out.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because she was trying to, like, you know, push me away.
Right.
It's just because she didn't know.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then I would ask my dad, and my dad would be like, it was interesting to see him try to figure out, like, the math.
Mm-hmm.
He would look at it. He would, like, is he reading? Like, is he, like, reviewing stuff? Like, is he looking at the biology books? You know, he would look at stuff, and he's like, well, you know, according to this, it's that. And I used to feel like sometimes more confused.
So he was figuring that out on the spot.
Yeah, exactly. So then I was like, you know what? I think I'll try to figure it out on my own. So then that's what I started doing. If I couldn't go to tutoring or to the office hours, you know, with the instructors, I would just try to figure it out on my own and read it. And that would take some time to, you know, do things. Because in class, you don't always have time to ask all the questions, sure. You know. Mm-hmm. So I would try to find just ways to get things done. So, you know, middle school was a challenge. You know, it's a jump from elementary school to middle school. It definitely is a challenging environment. That's where I think... I think that's the make it or break it type of situation when you're younger. Mm. You know, am I going to go down the right path, right, or am I going to go down the wrong path? It's the push and the pull situation. So, you know, same thing. I got into a couple, you know, incidents in the middle school. And, you know, and it's one of those things where sometimes kids try to make an example out of you, mm-hmm. You know, hey, let me push, let me see how far I can push, and let me pick on this person. And if they push hard enough and you don't push back, then it's like, hey, that's the target, right, you know. Right, right. And when I was in middle school, we had, you know, quite a bit of, you know, gang members in the school. You pretty much have to like stick up for yourself. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what I did, you know, that's what I did. Stuck out for myself, and I ended up in the counselor's office and the dean's office, you know. And it's like, hey, you know what, the dean really wanted to kick me out of the school. He's like you're out of here, you're gone. And I'm just sitting there and looking at him, you know, and I don't think I can say the word that I thought in terms of describing. I was, you know, you're a jerk, you know, that's what I thought. And then my counselor, because my dean was Mr. Gonzalez, mm-hmm. Right, and my counselor was Ms. Shiloh. And she sat down and she pulled out my cue. She's like, you know, you're a good kid, you have good grades, what's up? And I told her the same thing. I said, look, I mean, you know, you don't know how it works out here. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's like a survival of the fittest out here, mm-hmm. You know? And she was like, yeah, I understand, but you still have to, you know, behave and stuff like that. And I'm like, miss, I am. I said, I don't mess with nobody, I don't bother anybody. Mm-hmm. The thing was that trouble came looking for me,
sure,
you know, and I had to like take
you
care.
You have to put a tax on someone picking on you.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality to that.
Yeah, right? Definitely. So I just said, you know, I had to make an example, and then, you know, and then people leave you alone.
Right.
You know,
right.
So it was one of those situations. So, okay, she's like, I'm going to give you detention. So, you know, we went through that. I went through the detention. I went through paper pickup. You know, I did whatever she wanted me to do, write standards. I said, you know, the punishment is there, so I'll do everything you need me to do to get back on your good graces.
Right.
And that's what I did. And then after that, it was, you know, it was fine, you know, the rest of the way. And then when I graduated, I was very, you know, happy, felt accomplished. I graduated with honors, you know, from middle school. It was a fun time. And then after that, high school came, which was much more difficult.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't wait to get out of high school once, like, you know, I was there. And
you went to NoHo?
NoHo, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just couldn't. It's just, I think high school was a little bit more dramatic. I think people are a little bit more superficial.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like the who's the popular kids and who's not popular,
right,
you know.
Right.
Then there's some kids that don't care about, like, academics. It gets even worse,
yeah,
you know.
All sorts of different cliques and strange circles on a high school.
Exactly. Sure. So that aspect was a little bit more difficult. You know, and same thing, I was kind of doing my own thing. There was times where it was lunchtime, I remember, and I would still do work during lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was like, man, I was just counting the years till like high school was over and done with.
Were you starting to think about plans after high school at this point, working, career, college? What kind of trajectory were you on?
Definitely, I was thinking, so in terms of life out of school, we used to live in the projects in Pacoima, so we were like low income.
Mm-hmm.
So we lived there for a couple years, you know, probably until like about the age of five, I think. And then around kindergarten, first grade, if my mind doesn't fail me, that's when we moved to NoHo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I went to elementary school. But before that, we lived in the projects in Pacoima. And then when we moved out here to NoHo, we were still under HUD housing, low-income housing. Mm-hmm. We were like on food stamps and welfare. So, and then the neighborhoods where we lived, they always had gang problems, drug problems, alcohol problems, you know. Right. You get to see a lot of stuff, you know, like abuse and stuff. You know, there's not personally like in my family, but mm-hmm. you get to see, you know, people, you know, fighting out on the streets, sure. you know, like yeah. couples and stuff like that. So you get to see a lot of those things. So I remember over the years, as I started to get older, I started to say, I don't want this for myself, mm. you know. And then, you know, your instructors tell you things, you hear things in school. Hey, you heard what's up happened to such and such with their family. Right. Mom and dad's getting divorced. This person ran away. You know, this person got pregnant. This person OD'd, mm. you know, this person's in jail. Yeah, you get to hear all of that. This person got shot, stabbed, you know, just everything. You get yeah. to hear everything that you could think of. And then once I got to high school, I was like, man, like, how do I try to change this? And how do I try not to, like, let me and my family, like, be like a statistic, so to speak?
Right.
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 And I remember... I had a chemistry teacher, Miss Fleming. You see, I remember these few names of people that were very impactful.
Yeah.
And I remember she brought me. I was doing really well, you know, in her class, and I used to wear like at that point I was wearing like baggy pants and a baggy shirt. You know, that's mm-hmm. like the thing that kids do.
Sure.
You know, at some point. So I remember she sat down after a while that I was in her chemistry class, and she asked me, she's like, so what are the goals? What are the plans? Mm. And I said, you know what? I want to do something good. I want to do something better in life, but I don't know what. And she's like, well, what about college? And I said, I don't even know if that's in the picture, mm-hmm. you know. And she says, why? And I said, well, because, you know, financially, I think I need to help my family out.
Right.
And she's like, I understand that, but, you know, in addition to that, you know, to gain financial power, financial independence, yeah. You might need to get some education and some training to better yourself.
Right.
And I was like, I'm all ears, you know, what suggestion do you have? What plan do you have? If you have a plan, you have a suggestion, you have it figured out, please tell me, mm-hmm. and then I'll follow.
Right. Why do you think she singled you out for this conversation?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. And I think I feel that that's happened over time.
Yeah.
You know, in a lot of different places.
Right.
In elementary school, you know, like the teacher that was always fighting for me, like mm-hmm. you know what, he's a good kid. He just, there's some things that are there, but he's a good kid.
Right.
In middle school, Miss Shiloh, you know, same thing, pushing me. And then Miss Fleming in the high school, same thing. And then I asked her, so what's so special about me? And she's like, I don't know, but you're different.
Huh, right.
Because I asked her the same yeah. question. And then she's like, you know, you're not rude, you're not disrespectful, you keep to yourself, you're yeah. very quiet, you do your work, you don't give any trouble. But she's like, obviously, you're judged the book. You know, a lot of times you hear that statement, yeah. you're judged by how the way you look. You don't judge the book by its cover, but, you know, I think that people do judge you sometimes by the way you look, right? So she says, you know what, let's take a leap of faith together. And then I remember I told her, I'm like, Miss Fleming, you're tripping, man. I mean, this, like, this school stuff, I'm like, you know, I don't know if this really works for, like, you know, people like me.
Yeah.
And she's like, I think it does. And then I'm like, are you sure? She's like, yeah, I am. So then she told me the story about, she was a community college student.
Mm, okay.
And then she ended up coming here to Valley.
Ah, okay.
And then after that, she transferred to USC.
Yeah.
And then after that, she became an instructor, mm-hmm. you know, and then she was at North Hollywood. So I was like, okay, sounds good. So, you know, I really thought about it. And then one day, out of the blue, she's like, what are you doing after school? And I was like, well, going home, like always.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, let's go for a little trip. And I was like, where are we going? And she's like, don't tell anybody because I'm not supposed to be doing this. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And then she's like, let's go. So, you know, I jumped in her car.
Okay.
And she actually drove me here to Valley.
Wow, that's crazy.
So I was here, and then we walked the wrong campus. And she's like, how does this look? And I said, it looks like a very big school.
It looks big.
Yeah. So she was like, so what do you think about starting college here?
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know. And then she's like, well, you know what? Let's go to the old admissions and records building.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we grabbed an application. And then we started filling it out together. And then I don't remember when I turned it in, but you know, and then we ended up processing it. And she kept asking me, she's like, so how's the college thing going? I'm like, it's going, miss. Yeah. You know? She's like, are you sure? I'm like, yes, I'm sure. She's like, well, let me know. She's like, you know, when things finally are rolling.
Right.
So I went to the FAFSA workshop to do the FAFSA application. I remember Ms. Bonoff, she used to be my college counselor at North Hollywood. I ended up getting pulled out of class. Mm-hmm. And then Ms. Bonoff was like, hey, how are you? And I was like, I'm good. And then she's like, the reason why you're here, because I was like, why am I in this office? You know, it was like a shock for me. And then she's like, the reason why we called you out is because you're going to be graduating with honors from high school. And I'm like looking at her like, you know, can you like double check?
Did you get the right file there?
Yeah. So I was just like in shock. I'm like, are you sure, Ms. Bonoff? She's like, yeah. She's like, where are you going to college? And then I said, I'm just going to the community college. And she's like, well, that's fine. She's like, there's no shame in that, you know, because there's sometimes I think people see the community college as like high school part two.
Sure.
I've heard that a
definitely
lot.
Definitely a stigma.
Yeah. Exactly. So she said, you know what, we need to take your picture. And I was like, oh, pictures too? And then she's like, yeah, picture time. So she's like, okay, just choose a date. We're going to take some pictures. We're going to have an award ceremony at night. You and your family are welcomed. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, you're going to be graduating with honors. She's like, it's a proud accomplishment. Let's keep in touch.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, good. So I was in shock. You know, and then at that time, I remember I played football because I thought, you know, initially a scholarship would mm-hmm. probably be like a good situation, but sure. I only played football for like one season.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, maybe the scholarship's not coming, right? But I remember when we had the awards night, some of my teammates were there too. And then when we were in practice, they're like, your picture was up there. And I was like, yeah, I know. They're like, how does that feel? And I said, hey, you know what? I was in shock as you guys were. And they're like, you know, so it was like a joke for a while. But then I started thinking about it. I was like, well, not everybody's picture's up there.
Yeah.
Not everybody's graduating with this, you know, with these honors. And I was like, man, that's like a big accomplishment.
Yeah.
And I think that definitely motivated me more.
Right.
And just right. seeing... my mom, how happy she was, you know, of the accomplishments from elementary school, middle school, high school.
Yeah.
And then I had my college counselor also just being so proud of it, you know, and talking to her even more. I remember I started going more into the office.
Yeah.
And I said, so once I do this college thing, you know, like what's after college, you know, is there anything after Valley? And then she's like, yeah, then you have to transfer, then you have to do this, you have, you know, other things. So I was very happy. I was very thrilled. I also, in that meantime, in between, you know, coming and graduating, I was placed in a couple honors classes. So I had a little bit of I had two classes that were different. I had an English class. English, I think it was composition and one semester in literature, the second.
And this is at Valley?
And this is at NoHo.
At NoHo, okay.
I remember we read Mark Twain. I think we read also like Socrates, you know, a couple interesting readings.
Yeah.
And same thing, the instructor from that English class, she was always very motivational.
Yeah.
She's like, Miguel, come here. And I was like, yes. And then she flat out asked me. I was in shock initially. She's like, where did you learn how to read? And I was like, in school? And then she's like, no. She's like, you read really well. And I said, oh, thank you. You know, and then she's like, where did you learn how to read? And I said, well, you know, on my own time, I would read newspapers, comic books,
yeah.
You know, wherever I can get something to read. And she's like, it's showing the work.
Paying
yeah,
off.
Yeah, it's paying off.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. You know, which was, I think I felt a little bit weird or awkward initially.
Yeah.
But I think she was trying to make a point.
Right.
You know, so I took it as a positive, interaction.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you know, keep going. She's like, you have a good shot. You know, yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. But then on the other hand, I remember they were trying to put me in an AP history class. But then I graciously declined. My mom, my academic counselor.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Miguel doesn't want to take his AP history class. Can you please talk to him? So then my mom, she called me and she's like, you know, she's speaking to me in Spanish and she's like, yo no sé qué es AP historia. That means I don't know what AP history is. And I said, oh, it's this college thing. Mm-hmm. And she's like, why don't you want to take it? And I was like, well, you know, the farthest I've gone is honors. And I think mm-hmm. I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. And then at that time, you know, same thing. I think there was a little bit of pressure, you know, in terms of trying to be cool.
Yeah.
That I said, I'll take a class, but I'll take an honors class.
Okay.
But let's just not make it AP. This was like a situational thing going on. So I used to kind of keep my books on my locker and not walk around campus with books. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, because same thing, there's a little bit of a stigma if you're like, you know, a good student, you know, an academic student, yeah, like sure. a geek or something.
Right.
So there was a little bit of stigma. And like I said, I had like the baggy shirts and uh-huh. the baggy pants. And mm-hmm. it's like, you're trying to like keep this image going.
Right.
But I was like, man, but this is still the ticket out. So
yeah.
I ended up talking to my history professor. And at first he was very upset and he was like, no, I'm going to kick you out of my class. You can't be doing that. Uh-huh. And then I was like, well, you know, fine, you do whatever you have to do. But like, you know, I'm not budging in terms of my feelings mm-hmm. because I'm the one who's dealing with the high school environment.
Sure. Yeah.
So he ended up speaking with my academic counselor and then they ended up bringing me in and then they ended up calling my mom. And then we decided, okay, let's try it out and see if this really works. And he was very adamant. He's like, look at the way he's dressed and the way he looks. He's like, I don't know if he belongs in my class.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, cool.
Right.
And honestly, that was the motivation
to say that, yeah, light the fire.
To stick it to him, pretty
yeah.
much.
Yep.
So I remember first exam, we had to do some notes, and I did the notes, and he checks them. Mm-hmm. And he was like, nope, this is not the quality of work that I want. And I said, that's fine. I think they're good notes, mm-hmm. and this is what I'm going to study off of.
Right.
And then he's like, well, we'll see what your grade is.
Right.
First exam, I get an A. And then we do the second set, and he tells me again, he's like, no, this is not what I'm looking for. He's like, but this time you're sitting in the front to okay. take the test
okay.
so that I can keep my eyes on you.
Was he implying that you were cheating and that's how you got the grade?
I think so. So wow. he sat me in the front. He was sitting right across from me.
Yeah.
Bam, another A.
Yeah.
And he's like looking at me. He's like, I don't know what's like. And I said, you know what? I think you're a pretty cool professor. You just don't agree with this,
right?
You know, which is something different for you. But but it's okay.
Wow.
You know, so
student teaching the teacher.
Yeah. So yeah. Same thing. The next notes, he was a little bit less intense about the situation.
Yeah.
Same thing. The rest of the way, I sat in the front. I pretty much shattered like the grading scale.
Yeah.
So he says, Miguel, you can pretty much flunk the final. He's like, but I have to take you out of the grading scale because you're like, you know, you're up here. Because I was practically acing like every sure. single exam.
How know? Did that feel for you, man?
It was good. You know, I felt accomplished,
yeah.
you know. And same thing, it was like, you know, don't judge me just because of what you see like on the exterior, you know.
Yeah.
And what was, I think what made everything worthwhile was at the end. I think he was very old school.
Yeah.
He was like a war veteran.
Sure.
So I remember one of the last days when we were ending the second semester, he was waiting for everybody to kind of leave. And he's like, Miguel, wait for, I need to have a little chit chat with you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man, like, what is this gonna like be about? You know, just wondering. And I waited, you know, and I sat down, and I said, okay. His name was Mr. Payne.
I would pay money for that last name. Yeah.
So we're there, and then he has a seat, and he says, "Thank you." And I'm like, "Excuse you?" He's like, "Thank you." And I'm like, "Thank you for what?" Like, I'm like, you know, thinking, like, what is he talking about? Like, I haven't, like, done nothing for you. And then he's like, "Thank you for teaching me." I'm like, "Teaching you what?" And then he's like, "You know, when you first came into the class," he's like, "I judged you mm-hmm. based on, you know, the way you looked coming in, you know, your short hair, the way you dress, you know, coming into my classroom with your folded peachy folder, mm-hmm. you know, and not believing in you." And he's like, "And thank you for having patience and taking the time to teach me that I shouldn't judge, you know, students or kids like you."
Right, right.
And I said, I'm like, "It's all good, Mr. Payne." I'm like, "You know what? I know that you were just tripping." I say, "You know, I have like more like of a mellow personality.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not gonna do the whole like yelling and stuff like that." I said, "You know, I'm motivated differently." I said, "You know, so I said, you told me what you did," and he's like, "So that motivated to prove me wrong." I'm like, "Exactly." And he's like, "Well, you sure did teach me a lesson." And it was good after that.
What a great way to sort of end that class.
Yeah, so it was good after that, you know. And same thing, he said, "If you ever need something, you know, come to me.
Yeah,
feel free to come to me." So that was you know, that was powerful. I think it was very powerful. So, and then after that, you know, it was the rest of the way. Let's just get this done with. Let's finish high school. Mm-hmm. And yes, I graduated, you know, North Hollywood with honors. And then Valley came. Mm-hmm. You know, I was here for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Same thing, graduated from Valley with honors.
What were you studying? Was there a particular area of focus at that point at Valley?
You know, I think I changed a couple of times. I thought about Spanish for a while. Then mm-hmm. I thought about Chicano studies. Then I thought about psychology. Then I ended up majoring in sociology at UCLA when I transferred. Okay. But here I ended up, since I was taking classes from like all over the place, I ended up liberal arts and sciences was my associate's degree.
Yep.
But I had here Mr. Raskoff.
Ah, yes.
Yes, he took me under his wing. Okay. Here when I was at Valley. I remember we went flying on a couple of times. He took me on a trip to, we went to Arizona, the Grand Canyon. Wow. We went to Vegas.
Wow.
He exposed me to like a lot of things.
Yeah. This is part of the school or just on a personal level, you guys?
Some of them were projects from the school. Some of them were like on a personal level as well. Yeah. So it was like a combination of things.
So you just always had this personality where people just liked you.
Yeah.
Just really believed in you.
Right. Yes, yeah. Yes. Right. So he was the one who actually took me under his wing here.
Yeah.
And same thing, I took his geography class. Then I took an oceanography class with him. So there was field trips a part of, you know, the class. Then I took an independent studies class with him. And that was the plane ride because we were also doing a project.
Okay.
But then a couple of things were like more personal, you know. And I used to go visit him in his office a lot, mm-hmm. You know, and just talk.
Yeah.
We would just talk. And then, you know, and I think in a way, you know, with him, I think in a way I saw him kind of like, you know, like a second dad, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. We just talked about a lot of things, you know, in terms of goals that you have, aspirations. So that was something that was great for me there, you know, to have. At the same time, I also used to go visit Roberto Gutierrez.
Yeah, yes.
You know,
yep.
From the adult ed machine tool manufacturing,
job training. Right.
Yeah, so I used to go visit him a lot too. He had his office in the old engineering, now they moved to ACA.
Yeah.
So I used to go visit him a lot too and just speak to him, you know. The other person who I went to a lot too was Pete Lopez, Chicano Studies.
Yep.
So I spent a lot of time as well speaking to him. And then in terms of mathematics, the person that I go way, way, way back is Mary Ito.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So with her, she was my first professor that I think I really created like a relationship with in terms of mathematics.
Yeah,
I remember I took a trick class with her, and I used to spend countless hours sitting next to her just trying to figure things out. You know, so there was a couple people here that were very influential.
Those are some, those names that you mentioned are
get named good, a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those are some amazing, amazing folks at the college, and for you to have the chance to work with them, for them to want to work with you, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember because I'm hoping not to forget people, but I think in terms of people that stood out, I think those are the main people that have stood out at, in terms of the academics, you know, but specifically in terms of, you know, the to do a lot of other things was Mr. Raskoff, you know.
Sure.
I think he was very impactful, and I really enjoyed, you know, the quality time that I spent with him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a lot of great times with him just hanging out, talking to him. I remember I think the class was in the math building. They used to have classes out mm-hmm. there, I think, back in those days. And, you know, sometimes we would eat together, just talking. Mm-hmm. And, I think at this point, I was just trying to pick people's brain, you know, right. trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
And then in terms of my academic counselor, the person who was very impactful, for me, she's now my coworker, mm-hmm. is Alma Olivares Duera.
Oh,
so
yes.
She was my counselor, and she's told me a couple of times. She's like, you know, I remember when you first came in, I would always wear a baseball cap, and I would never take it off. Uh-huh. And I don't know why, but I think that was like my shield. Mm. I don't know what it was protecting me from, but I just felt like I just needed to always have it
right.
on. Obviously, in class, you have to, like, take it off. But I always had that on. Even during counseling sessions, I would keep it on. Like, yeah. I would really take it off. And she told me, she's like, you know, same thing she was pushing.
Yeah.
Because when it came time to transfer, I was just thinking of going to CSUN.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing, she was looking at my academics. Same thing, I graduated with honors from Valley. And she was like, you know, you should look into some UC schools. And I'm like, no, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. I'm fine. I think I can just go to CSUN and things would, you know, be okay.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no. She's like, I think you should look at, you know, like UCLA and other UC schools, you know, maybe some private schools, you know, look at other stuff. And I said, well, like, what do you suggest? And then she's like, I just told you. And I said, no, but which one should I apply to? That's what I mean. And she's like, well, that's, like, up to you. You know,
right.
So I ended up applying to CSUN, LA, Santa Barbara, and Irvine, and I got into all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But UCLA was the one who took the longest, though, to like send me a
right. So with the last UCLA at Berkeley
to send me an acceptance letter, and I remember I spoke to the rep, and the rep was like, "Well, if you get a small envelope, mm-hmm. that's probably like not a good
sign. <bad side. laughs>
then that's a good thing because that's probably your packet." And I remember I was starting to get anxious, you know, because it's like they're waiting, like waiting and waiting and waiting. And I remember, I think it was like the second to the last day in terms of, you know, stuff coming to your home. And then I'm walking to, you know, our mailbox and I'm grabbing the key and then my hand started to shake. And I'm like, man, like, what can I open this mailbox? So then I'm like grabbing my hand with the other hand, putting the key in and I'm like turning it. And then finally, like, I see, like, a big old envelope in there.
Yeah.
And just walking back inside, like, I remember just, you know, your heart starts pounding. I couldn't even open the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my family members had to help me. And then I pull it out and I start reading it. And then it's just, like, everything, like, you know, just started. It just felt overwhelmed with everything. And then I just kind of sat down on the floor and I just, you know, well, I just started crying. All the feelings just pouring out
right.
of everything. Like, it's like a great accomplishment,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
My mom was crying. My other siblings were, you know, happy. But more specifically, like, my mom and myself were the ones that I think more emotionally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
mm-hmm.
things like that, I don't want to say they take a toll, but, right. you know, it's a lot of emotions, a lot of time and years and energy
yeah.
that you're going through stuff.
Right.
So I finished strong here. You know, I just didn't want it to be like where sometimes you get admitted and then you kind of like, you know, take the foot off the throttle, so to speak, you know, off the accelerator, I mean. You take the
yeah.
foot off and you fizzle out, yeah. And then I was like, no, I got to finish strong. So I finished strong. I think my last semester I had like a 3.8.
Right.
Here, and then I decided to go to the transfer summer program at UCLA. So I did that. I did the transfer summer program, and then went to UCLA for 2 years
mm-hmm.
and graduated. Got my bachelor's in sociology.
Mm-hmm.
That was intense too. It was very difficult, in terms of the classes,
yeah.
It's quarter system. There's
right.
an adjustment phase you're going through
sure.
it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I went through feelings of like, hey, maybe they made a mistake in the admissions.
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's just, it was challenging academically. It was a challenge, but I wouldn't change it, you know, for anything. I met some great people, my roommates, they were from Oxnard.
Mm-hmm.
They're teachers now.
Okay.
One's a high school teacher, the one's an elementary school teacher. So I had a good time there. Then once I finished, I actually enrolled at Cal State Northridge.
Okay.
I went through their counseling program.
Okay.
I have my master's in school counseling.
Okay.
And then I have an adult credential in career counseling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that was a switch, you know, because you go from semester to quarters back to semester.
Yeah, in a grad program.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I had an adjustment phase for that as well
yeah.
that I went through.
Yeah.
But I finished, I finished one program, then I finished the second program because one was a master's degree, the other one was a certificate program.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there. I was there for I would say 4 years.
Okay.
So 2 years for the master's and then 2 years for the certificate program.
Okay.
And then during that time, I had started working for LAUSD. I worked for, I believe it was a year or 2 years. So 1 year was in counseling at Van Nuys High School.
Mm-hmm.
Then another year was in the Bilingual Education Center.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I worked there. And then I also interned at Walter Reed Middle School. I went back to intern
okay.
there.
Right.
And then afterwards, I was also here. I did an internship with the Career Center here, Career
mm-hmm.
Transfer Center,
mm-hmm.
With Cynthia Saltoon.
Okay. Yeah.
I worked in financial aid as an intern as well,
mm-hmm.
and that was with Barbara Ralston.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also did outreach and recruitment for EOPS.
Yeah.
Back in the days.
So I know you have a hard out in about 5 minutes. You've been really generous with your time with us and your story. So just with the last 5 minutes, what do you do here now? And how do students interact with you now?
So now I'm working now as a counselor at EOPS. So it's EOPS Care.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's Extended Opportunity Programs and Services.
So EOPS, who do they target?
We target first generation low income students. That's pretty much who we target, you know. So typically they're educationally and or economically disadvantaged, the students,
mm-hmm.
you know, similar to myself. And a lot of them are just, you know, trying to figure things out. You know, they're also trying to figure out like, hey, do I get a certificate? Do I get an associate's degree? Do I transfer? Do I do both? Do I do multiple things?
Yeah.
So it's just their first time in college trying to figure things out. So the main thing is, we track them, we help track them in terms of their progress. We create student educational plans, abbreviated comprehensive educational plans. We help them with financial aid appeals. So when they come in, I'm like, what's your major? What are your goals? What expectations do you have for yourself as a student? And let's figure out a game plan to get you, you know, to reach your successes, to hit your goals, I mean. and then get you out of here, you know, whether it's just graduating and then going into the workforce or transferring out to another institution and finishing your bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. So we also talk about like graduate school programs, mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, is there a plan to go to medical school, to go to law school, to go to vet school, pharmacy school? Mm-hmm. What are your goals, like long-term goals?
Right.
So we look at all that stuff. We do have some workshops, you know, we have the CARE workshops, we have the undecided major career workshops as well. We also have, you know, sometimes we do have students that are on academic or progress probation, so we have that as well. And then we also help them with their UC application, mm-hmm. their CSU application, helping them with their personal statement. So it's an office where we're multitasking. We have tutoring available for them as well.
Sure. Okay. So how does someone find you on campus?
We are in the Student Services Building in the second floor. There's a big sign outside that says EOPS. So that's how they can locate us.
Okay. And that's the best way to connect with you personally? Your office is up there? Your
Yes, my office is up there. Well, first they apply into the program. We check their eligibility. Okay. You know, once they're eligible for it, they got to go to an orientation.
And EOPS students are eligible for book vouchers too?
Yes. So one of the things is that we explain during the orientation. We explain to them, you know, the expectations of them as students, the guidelines in terms of maintaining, you know, a good academic standing within the program. Mm-hmm. So they need to meet with the counselor twice during the semester, be enrolled in 12 units, be making progress towards their goal, turning in a progress report card.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we check to see if they're eligible for the book voucher. They also get priority registration.
Right.
And as long as they're doing that, they have 6 semesters to reach their academic goal or 70 units, whichever comes first. Once they hit that mark, then they become what we call max out students. After that, they're no longer eligible for any of those additional services, just the counseling component.
Okay.
And that's when they come to see me as the max out counselor.
Okay.
So before we would exit them out of the program and then they would typically go to general counseling and make an appointment. But now, they can come in and say, you know what, I'm a max out student. I see the max out counselor. And then that's when I review the stuff, you know, and see, okay, these are the certificates that you're eligible for. This is the AA degree that you're potentially eligible for.
Right.
This is what's remaining. This is what we need to do.
Right.
And then I just review. So during that time, I review their, if they're doing IGETSE, if they're doing the CSU Breath, or if they're doing both, you know, we look at all that good stuff. And then we just have a plan of attack to finish strong, pretty much.
And then just to put a bow on your story, because I know there's a lot that we didn't cover.
Uh-huh.
So after all of this, did you buy a house recently?
Yes. Yeah, so I think one of the challenging things is to be financially sound and financially responsible and know how to manage your finances.
Yeah.
So at a young age, you know, I think I started to learn that, you know, and same thing, going through workshops,
sure.
You know, talking to people. So I started to build my credit, and that's happened over time. I remember the first time I got a credit card, I had to get a cosigner,
mm-hmm.
and that was very difficult.
Yeah.
So same thing, since I went through that difficult experience, I told myself, I am never gonna rely on anybody
yeah.
for anything, you know, financially as well. So once I got that first credit card, I started building my credit.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started speaking to people. I would say I have a relatively good credit score. and then I started the home search.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I began the home search. I went through some brokers. I went through some credit unions. Then I ended up going to the bank. So I ended up securing a bank loan. And I actually moved into my house in 2017, towards the latter part of the year.
Sure.
And I've been in there for a little bit over a year.
And your mom lives with you?
Yes, my mom is with me. I also have a disabled brother who's with me, and I have multiple pets.
I know when I hear your story about just how much your mom just put into you in terms of this, you know, and knowing the ending of the story, it always makes me so happy whenever I see you. Whenever I refer a student to you, I'll say, great counselor, but even a better person. And, you know, I always have this confidence that whatever the student needs, I know that your heart is in the right place when you talk to them, and that is why I love sending people to you.
Miguel, thank you so much for sitting down and sharing your story with us. It's incredibly inspiring. We're lucky to have you at Valley College.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. I'm looking forward to continue working here on campus, and with all my coworkers, I think we're all great people, and we all have a goal in terms of helping the students succeed and be successful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Valley College Connection radio show and podcast with Professors Scott Wiegand and John Kawai. If you would like to be a guest, recommend a topic, or find out more information, please email kvcm@lavc.edu. That's kvcm@lavc.edu. This has been a production of 95.1 KVCM Monarch Radio, the voice of Valley College, and the Broadcasting Club. Thank you for listening.